all Cougar Melon Candy. The one and the only. John Cougar. What's up, everybody? Josh Accardo. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. You're mighty. All of you are powerful people. You upload or subscribe and you listen, and it's gives me a voice. Thank you. Oddly enough, John Cougar Mellencamp, I don't know if he goes by Cougar anymore, but I know it's definitely John Mellencamp, is the favorite artist of, I don't know about the favorite artist. Okay, here's the background. This reason why I picked this song. My guest is Keith Malley from Keith and the Girl. Very, very well-known podcast. Very successful person in this format of communication and entertainment. Far more successful than me. Lucky to have him on. Anyways, I am a big Bruce guy. As you guys know, I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan. That is my person. Keith and I have sat around many a drunken night discussing this. He is a John Cougar Mellencamp guy. I thought originally he was doing that just to fuck with me, but as I've gotten to know him over time, this is truth. So, Keith, that was for you. So, my guest is Keith Malley, and he's a guy that I met a while ago through the show, and just like organically started hanging out with, and he's become one of my closest friends. And as you'll hear in the podcast, I question our friendship on whether or not it's a long prank by him. It's my own insecurity. I'm insecure. Also, Keith kind of, you know, calls me out on some shit, and he was right on it. And I took his advice, and I'm very thankful for it. So, anyways, without any further ado, my good friend, Keith. Usually, for those of you listening to the show, you listen because there are attractive women with very pronounced bosoms, buttockses, if that's plural that right. But I have a professional on the show. I have a professional radio person on the show. Not only that, not only is he a fucking pioneer, but also a very, very good friend of mine. Pretty much we've established some lifelong memories. The one and only from Keith and the Girl, Keith Malley.
Woot woot! Good to be here, buddy. How you doing, ladies, man? The Magician Tone Center, CTP, JA on SP Podcast, Lamb Pig. Subway in the back. Bruce Springsteen. Good to be here. Thank you.
The amount of research you did for that stretch of a sentence is unbelievable. We've been trying to do this forever. I'm so happy you're here.
Thanks.
I love you. And I'm not sure why, because I was thinking about it.
I don't get it. Yeah.
And it's not like a fan thing, because fuck you. Mm-hmm. It's a personal thing.
By the way, it's so funny on your show when you say that lovingly to people, like, fuck you, because you just had that interview with A. Marie, right?
Yeah, okay, but I actually know her, though.
Okay, right, of course. But she was saying, oh, I had to leave California for something, so I moved back home. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, because fuck you, you're a piece of shit, you failed, and you moved back with your parents. I'm guessing she left because she was raped. That's what I'm guessing, because she's like, it's bad, do you really want to go into it? And you're like, you know what, well, you're a piece of shit, you went back home, what good is a fuck? She's like, okay.
You know, you look at someone's face and you know something was probably bad. And there's sometimes like I really do want to spar with that. Right. And other times I'm like, no, I don't want to. I just know.
I know, but you had to throw in the like, yeah, fuck you.
I only that you're right. That is a normal response because that's called insecurity. With A. Marie, it was more like, oh, I'm gonna give a little flirtatious, sarcastic joust.
Right.
With you, it's because I am insecure about a relationship.
Okay.
Because you're a tough read.
Thank you.
And what I mean by that, for those of you listening at home and you're on your edge of your seats, I know.
I don't like to read.
Keith is really good at what he does. But he's really good at what he does. And then he also has a personality that is the same way in real life. Because I've been on some of your shows before. Mm-hmm. And you're super witty, and you're super quick, and you can hold – you ever heard of, like, long game? You hold long game. Like, you can hold on to a sarcastic moment where you hope, like, you can get someone going. Like, you're really good at getting people going.
Thank you.
And I don't know if sometimes, like, our friendship is a long game to humiliating me. It's
just wait till that finale hangout we have. Oh, it's all going to come together like a movie.
And I'm kind of in now where I'm like, fuck it. Like, I can't wait to see the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, I don't even like watching football with you. It's all part of some question I'm trying to get answered, and I don't want to just flat out ask you.
I'm always really impressed with the mystery behind you, because even though we know each other, I think I know pretty intimate details about your life, but I always hear more stuff that isn't from you. So, like, I read your Wikipedia page.
Okay.
And I didn't know about the Simpsons movie thing.
Right.
I didn't have the stuff on there. I'm like, is someone writing this and making it up, or is this actually? Because right. I know you keep in touch with your own shit. What in the Wikipedia page is absolutely accurate? Is it all accurate?
I think it's almost all true. I don't remember anything on there that's not true. You're talking about when I would buy domain names.
Mm-hmm.
And sell them. And I didn't feel like a piece of shit. To me, it was like, if you buy a house deliberately to sell for more, are you a piece of shit?
Yeah, it's a good move.
Let a cheaper family have it. So I bought the SimpsonsMovie.com, knowing there was going to be a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I would sell, I know, my, I think, what did I sell at the time? The biggest one, I forget what that sold for, was Episode2.com. That was when that Star Wars movie came out. And that was good. Then 20th Century Fox wrote me saying they're going to sue me. Give me this name, The Simpsons Movie.
So they try to strong arm you.
Yeah.
Scare you with their big lawyer terms.
Yeah, and honestly, I didn't like the tone. I'm not exaggerating. And I'm like, no, now this is a thing.
Yeah.
And
if they would have said, hey, here's 10 grand or here's 5 grand.
If they said, please.
Then you would have been, okay.
I wouldn't have cared. Yeah. I'd say, give me $75 back because that's what you paid at the time. And
oh, really?
Who gives a shit? Yeah.
Because you weren't out there to necessarily like gouge people and try to get $1 million out of somebody. It was a fun thing, an interesting thing you did, and it probably got you great talking points.
I bought DukeNukem4.com. That game ended up being a piece of shit, so it made no money. Godfather 4.
How far ahead of the game do you have to be to even do that right, where you can get it first?
You got to be ahead. You got to be
way ahead, right?
Yeah, especially now. This is maybe 10 to 15 years ago.
With the Simpsons one, how far ahead were you? How many weeks, months, years?
I don't know if it was announced or is just announced. So maybe it wasn't announced.
See,
I just had an inkling it's going to come out.
There should be some intern.
Yeah.
The minute that's even remotely in discussion should be buying up domain names. Right. I mean, I'm surprised it wasn't already bought at that point.
Right. So we end up, I happen to have a friend who's a lawyer. And so she's on the phone. I'm talking to an arbiter, and he's like, so why did you buy this .com? Did you fuck over the nut? No, I said, no, I'm working on a script about O.J. Simpson, and I want that to be a movie. So then, now 20th Century.
So now you have vested interest.
Yeah.
You've created interest in what you're doing. Like, I'm actually interested in using this.
Yeah, and so 20th Century Fox, they have a lawyer, of course. But it's funny that my lawyer happened to go to school with their lawyer. My lawyer's female, theirs is male. The guy not only would copy her work, but was really into her.
Wow.
And she's like, I know this guy and how he works, and it's going to be no problem. So
so you lucked out in like five ways. The universe provided in five ways.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You got the laws of attraction, which
mm-hmm,
are brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the female on your side, mm-hmm, which is always the winner.
Well, they always give the baby to the mom, right?
Exactly. And then she also has done the research. She knows all his...
Yeah, she knows what
she's doing.
She knows,
like, his triggers.
Yeah. And I'm not allowed to say what the settlement was, but Mr. Burns paid me $14,000.
I love it. It's a great story. Mm. I always like the story...
Sorry, my subway's here. Bye.
Yeah, get out of here. This is kind of the professional place I run. I don't even want a studio anymore. I used to think I wanted something like special like you have and
right.
to feel like my work has been rewarded, like you guys are rewarded at your show for being good. No more.
Well, it's nice to have a subway here when you live there. It's just
it's
funny
going
when
right
you're recording.
It's amazing.
And A. Marie's going to tell a rape story. And no, keep going. Focus on my eyes.
I love how Keith acts like he researched a show. He listened to two episodes and he's referencing those two in such a strong way. That's why you're really good at what you do.
Well, thank you. But I'll tell you, I've heard more shows. My favorite parts of the show, since you're asking, is when you go, hey, guys, let's just say it's been one of those weeks. Anyway.
Do you know how depressed
and it's
I
like,
am usually?
No, we don't know because you don't say.
I don't want to go into it.
You just, right, but then don't bring us into it.
But I had to, though.
Right.
Because I want to allude This stuff's not good.
So, you know, it's one of those weeks, you know. Anyway, subscribe if you want. Yeah, there's a Subway, but you know what? It's free, so fuck you.
That's the way I operate.
And then Josh is like, oh, I don't know why people don't want to donate to my art. Anyway.
I haven't asked for anything yet.
Well, good, because you're telling them to fuck off.
You think they're taking me serious?
It's... Yay, fuck you.
Oh, so you're saying if I make it more happy,
stop.
Fuck you.
If you have to say fuck you, say it. But you're like, eh, why am I trying so hard? Oh, look, this made noise. Who cares? It's free. Fuck off.
Well, yeah. Okay, so you're saying the logic of that, it's free.
You're implying that you're not giving a shit.
Ah, which I might give a shit. So I should imply exactly how much I give a shit.
Do you give a shit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I do. I think that, you know what? Okay, since we're getting into it, I think the shows...
If this failed, would it upset you?
I mean, it's... No. I mean, but...
No?
No.
If mine failed, it would upset me.
And well, you're making your living off that.
It would upset me right away.
I don't like failing at anything, if that's what you're asking me. Yeah, if anything... But what's a fail? No one subscribes?
That's a fail, yes.
It's already kind of there.
We got right to it. Wait a minute. Why didn't you tell me that ahead of time?
I actually have pretty decent numbers for a guy who comes off like he doesn't care. All so, right. But yeah, I mean, the content I think is great. Do I think I would like to do bigger and better things with it? Sure.
Do I think I have
the resources to do so at the moment? I've invested many hundreds of dollars into these microphones.
Okay, that's something.
I haven't soundproofed the house yet, though. Can't afford that.
Right.
So I'm going to act like I care so I can get some money to soundproof my house.
Well, you got a guy on the inside because I just bought slampigthemovie.com. And if you're looking for bigger and better.
Fuck, man.
I'm saving.
I got in a fight and I had to get a lawyer on retainer.
Yeah.
I hope he can rep me for this
a physical fight?
Oh, yeah. I've talked about it. I got in a fight with this guy at a St. Patrick's Day party. It's one of the lowest moments of my 30s. And I've had a lot of low moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get a lawyer. That guy's rep. I'm letting you know.
Right.
That you guy's repping me in this case when the movie comes out.
Okay. You're going to need somebody with finesse, not just the handles fighting.
When I went in to take the meeting, he was like, I told him the situation. And he's like, well, you know, I actually got a guy off who punched a cop in the face.
You're a good man.
You're the guy for me.
So it could have been a cop, you said.
Damn it.
Well, you're good.
So, okay. So,
by the way.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Thank you. And since we're talking about Slam Pig, do you ever regret that title?
You don't do this thing where you make my show your show. I know you do that. But since we're on a topic of your show being my show, here's Keith's meanders. Mostly positive. But I had a situation where there was someone on the show that I posted the show, and the person's boyfriend... she could not keep in check and reached out to me and was doing this like Jersey guy, I'm a filmmaker, but I'm being really aggressive, but not saying any aggressive words. But it was all like
he didn't
implied.
Like the way you were talking to his
it
girl.
Was all implied. It was like if you don't take it down, ..
Right.
Well, .. It was a lot of .. His issue was he didn't like the way I was interviewing his girlfriend. He thought it was disrespectful.
Right.
Meanwhile, his girlfriend is very much – it was a live stream. You could have saw it on the Facebook. She was very into
it. Star hooker?
She was a person who was a
Who was the guest that day on Slam Pig?
I don't even want to – here's the thing because this is the point I'm trying to make. Me and Keith are hanging out after this, and I was like telling him the story like this is really annoying. Because I took it down ultimately because, one, I cannot be irritated.
Not to jump ahead, you also asked this – you also said about this girl, like, your guy's fucking threatening me. I'm going to fight him. I don't know what to do. And she goes, oh, don't worry about him. Don't worry about him. Who's weirder?
It was the conversation, the way it happened is he comes out and says this thing, like, hey, I'd appreciate it if you take it down. I like the way you're talking to my girl.
Right.
And I go, I'm not taking it down unless she wants it down, then we can have that discussion. But I'd have to hear it from her. I'm sorry you feel that way. I was being very diplomatic.
Right.
Probably best to just take it down. That was the next thing. I get in touch with her, and it's a very delayed response. And she's like, I go, do you want this down? Because this is this and this. But he's already been blowing up my messaging.
Right.
So I just ended up taking it down because I was like, is there something on there that is groundbreaking for me as an artist where I thought –
Because there's some interviews where women do talk about really extreme issues that I think are really helpful to a lot of people that are in that position. I've had people talk about sexual assault, body image, eating disorders. These are things that are hard to share. They're vulnerability that is really great for my show and the whole point of the show. That did not happen on this particular episode. There was nothing that was happening on the show that I thought, well, fuck, man, I need to stand by this episode. This is my art.
Still, does it bother? Because I hate that. I do not do it anymore. Your buddy Lance Weiss just tried to do that.
Lance did? He tried to take off the show?
He tried to take – he not like he's taking me to court, but
– 20th Century is representing me.
And the show was already up, and so I'm like, no, we certainly cannot do that. And, of course, he was talking to somebody else. You know, I'm not necessarily dealing with it. But anyway, he was telling the story about how – and it's still up, like I said.
Sure.
But his mom will give him $200 whenever he needs it. And so he tells me – by the way, that was the only personal information I got out of this guy, okay?
He's a tight ship.
He's very tight.
He's a vault.
So then he
he's been on this show, too, so you can listen to that one and see if you can...
He asks Libby, the person that books for us, like, hey, you know, I was talking to my mom, and she doesn't like that I mentioned that she gives me money. And I was like, first of all, you're the only one that looks bad in the story. What did you even tell her? Because at the time, the show wasn't up, but by the time news got to me,
done.
The show was up.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, what could he have said? I don't know. But it's like, well, no, because we have a guest host, because my co-host is sick right now. We have to have that show because we have sponsors lined up, this kind of thing. But anyway, my point is, that drives me crazy that people I should be offended because it's a podcast. What other medium would you go? Can you just take that down?
I don't disagree with you. And I think you and I are coming from two different places because you are one of the...
And our show's live. People are going to realize we changed something. It's going to make a bigger deal.
On the line
no one gives
me.
A shit. Your mom gives you money. And it's so funny small. Your mom gives you money.
It's so small. I think the reason why this struck me as, okay, at the end of the day, do I want to spend any more man hours and any more of my power and my attention to this guy who really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't affect me except for him bothering me via Messenger? Was I in fear of my life? No. In fact, it's actually the reverse, where I hate that everyone's really tough through text and through the internet. Everyone's a tough guy. And I am a guy who actually will do stuff. And that's a problem for me. And it's something I cannot do anymore. So I'm not going to fight with a guy via text. Secondly, it was a fun show, but it wasn't like
– groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking. And I've had numerous women go, can you – I reveal – I have not numerous – what's numerous? Three or more?
Sure.
I probably have four people over the course of 115 episodes that have said, can we please take it down? One of them was like, hey, I said some shit that I'm actually in court for now. Right. I can't have this out there. I said, okay, no problem. Another guy was like, my parents listened to this and they thought I sounded – pretty much like he was, probably a guy who was pretty into himself, self-absorbed, and said some things that – they didn't want him to have out there.
But how old is this guy?
He's in his fucking 30s.
Okay.
So you're right. But I was like wanting to be in business with him at the time. So I said, yeah, sure. I'll do the favor. I'll do the solid. But I understand what you're saying. And here's, the long way around of this is the reason why I brought up Keith is because you kind of get off on going, I can't. Like you like the confrontation because it's good. You're good at making the confrontation good fodder for – your show.
Work? I'd rather an easy guest, if that's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying when I told you this story, I watched your – I don't know if it's because we were drinking, but I watched your eyes light up.
I was shocked,
this is too good.
Right.
And I'm not – I don't disagree with you. I don't think because your show is further along and more popular that my show's less that it gives me the license to go, fuck it, just get rid of it. Because
right.
I don't. I think we apply to the same foundation. I think the only difference is I was looking at it from a annoyance where I was like, I don't want to be annoyed anymore.
Right.
I'm not seeing the fruits of my labor just yet with the show to where I can be like, I could talk 5 days about this and really make it bigger and get people on my side. Now, to give you some context, I'm a little gun shy because I had someone, a fucking person, who I thought was kind of funny, kind of like a millennial hipster – writer person.
Okay.
I read some of her work, and I thought, oh, she seems kind of witty, and it kind of fits in line with what I'm doing, and it's a different kind of guest. I have a lot of different types of females on the show. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, would you like to do the show? And I made a mistake of kind of – I utilize when I ask people on the guest an email format to a degree.
Right.
And I left in – I said, you know, I have models and I have – I just listed the kind of people I've had on the show before.
Right.
She took extreme offense to the name of the show. So that – this is full circle back.
Well, this is – by the way, remember that because the, your fault also is in the email you send the Urban Dictionary definition of slam pig. Slam pig. When a woman keeps getting slammed like a pig, a whore.
Oh!
Right. As in, Mary is such a whore – she takes all the dicks. She's a slam pig.
You know
N-word.
What? Fucking bullshit. First of all, the name of the show is Slam Pig because in one of in my first independent, it's hanging up on the wall right now, low budget indie films that won a festival, one of the first lines my character says is Slam Pig. So I, when I made the show 5 years ago, I called it that.
Right, but the logo is pigs fucking.
I thought that would be funny. That is in bad taste. You're right. I am in process of changing the logo because I have matured in 5 years. Yes. That being said,
and it's obvious that the pig on the bottom is not into it consensually.
See, now you're throwing shit. I've been somebody's slam pig before. I know in the early days of fucking when I had really terrible teeth, I was cheated on, I was abused and used.
CTP.
And I know exactly. When I would show up, I knew I was there to fuck. And that was it. I've been used before too by females, okay? It's not just a female thing. I get it. That's the whole thing. It's the female thing.
I get I'm picking on them, but I want you to know they picked on me too.
I guess if my podcast was called the N-word podcast and I had on
but my first
really,
production
really prominent black people that were talking about the struggles and how – I mean it was actually a very good show that was – I feel like my show
I want
is
you
relatively
to know on
nutritional.
On my show I have gangbangers and I have – but you'll be great.
I'm kind of seeing her point, but not really. So she took extreme offense right. to me even asking her, even though she never listened to an episode, because I can point out 10 at the top of my head right now that are shows where people go, oh, my God, this guy had someone on who's trans who talks about their transition. I've been ahead of the cuff since the beginning. But because, like he says, I've never made a big fucking thing out of it, no one knows that I've been ahead of the curve. Before you were talking about trans, I've had him on my show. But she didn't go and do that research. No, what she did was is she fucking posted on Twitter, tried to blow my spot up before right. researching me and not knowing that a lot of people she knows I've worked with before
right.
and still try to fuck me over.
What's her
and
name?
Then I can't do it because I don't want to give her the plug.
People say that to me.
If I have 70 listeners, I don't want to give them the plug.
People say to me, like, don't give them the attention. Like, they can have the attention and don't tell me it's not worth my time because it's always worth my time. You don't have time, but you make time.
And this is where I have yet to go in my trajectory of radio podcasting where Keith is.
They go, Keith, they want that attention. I'm like, well, then everybody wins with me.
It's crazy eyes.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
He just went dire. So I said to her, because I'm doing my best to, because you cannot, my response is usually meathead response. I'm just kind of programmed. The first response in me is to be like, well, what the fuck do you want to do about it?
Which is a B, I'll meet you at 417.
Yeah, and then I'm so transparent and stupid, and I let people know what I'm thinking, and it's just so dumb. So I collected myself. I didn't say anything dumb. I just said, I'm really sorry you feel that way. I think it's irresponsible of you to promote to your fan base and pander and act like I did something wrong when you haven't heard my show.
How do you write it back?
That's basically what I said.
No, I mean DM.
It's all Twitter. So okay. I'm doing it. I have to do it all in 160 characters, which is possible. Or whatever, 130, right. whatever it is. And then I go, why don't you come on the show? We could talk about it. This is the debates I have on the show anyways. Right. This would be perfect. But then the problem I have is this. Her following is so much stronger than mine. Right. Everyone on her side, which was, let's call it 70, 80 people, right. retweet. And then she did this thing where she responded to me. But put the dot before the response. So it looked like she was just responding to me.
Right.
But it went out to all her followers. And she did something where she quote tweets something I wrote, which was completely sterile. Nothing like crazy. Right. It was very general. It was just basically want to come on the show. Mostly it was my response to her like being like, why would you try to take somebody down for no reason not hearing their show? I get you don't like the name, but
right.
is this necessary? It was like the response was something like, yeah, sticking up for my rights as a woman, not necessary. And it totally pandered to her audience. Sure. She totally beat me in the social media battle because everyone that follows her, she's like Miss Women's Rights, and I'm a feminist. But in reality, she's shitting on a lot of people that kind of have shown their souls on this show, if you listen to it, which you have, but you tend to pick out the negativity. But in reality, the show is very in-depth.
Whisper the name.
I can't. I don't want to do that. I'll tell you off the air. So she does that, and it just gets blown. Like, people are retweeting. It's like I fucking – it was like she was – who's the lady who fucking did the flag? It was like she was Betsy Ross right. or whatever, or she was some hero amongst the community. Right. And then punk-ass dudes were writing like, yeah, you should go on this really shitty show. What a fucking piece of shit. And I knew, like, you would never say this to my face. You would see me. Right, sure. You want nothing to do with me because this is the way you battle, which is fucking – real sissified, and it wasn't okay. So I am gun shy and dealing with anything that has to do with social media because I'm not that popular. Because if I was, I would win most battles just off sheer popularity. And you know what remind me of, Keith? Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I got a fist fight in eighth grade, right?
Of course you
did. No friends. Very, very.
Gee, I don't know why.
New kid, really shy, really awkward, really kind of nerdy. And this kid would pick on me every day in math class for a straight, like, first four months of school. He would always fuck with me. He sat behind me. He would throw stuff at me, stick signs on my back, like, giggle with some girl he liked, trying to impress her by using me as kind of like a stepping mat or whatever you call it, doormat. And finally the guy slapped me in the back of the neck hard. And I fought him. I stuck up for myself, and I fought him in class. And the guy was popular in school, and even though there was no one that won the fight, everyone was like, you got your ass kicked. I remember that shitty feeling of when you go to school the next day, knowing you didn't lose the fight, and I don't know if it's about the ego, it is about the ego, but as much as about, like, one, you didn't see the fight, two, I fought him in the middle of this class, so those 10, 20 people, and they saw that it wasn't like, we hit each other once and wrestled, and then the security came. And now, like, the whole school's like, oh, you got your ass kicked. And that was a feeling I had. I really hate it. It really bothers me, like, a lot more than it should have.
And then you had to fight the whole school.
Then the whole school, I'm fighting the whole school. And I got to move schools. So I got to move countries now because I want to fight everybody on Twitter.
You know, for what it's worth, I remember, of course, you telling me the gist of the feminist story. You must have told me the name, and it didn't stick in my mind. So fuck her.
Yeah, well, I agree. But at the same time,
it would be fun to say.
It would be amazing to say, but I would lose the social media battle, which would bother me. I have to either grow up, one, or two, get a thicker skin when it comes to social media, because there's nothing positive coming at me. It wasn't like. Even women on my show, some of them would like some of the stuff I wrote.
Right.
But no one was like, this guy's – he – because I was losing so bad. No one was ready to step in and be like, hey, Josh Ricardo having the show, he was awesome. I don't know what you're talking about. Or no one jumped in.
And maybe they needed you to
reach out
really
and say,
please
help me.
No, not even that. But like,
I wasn't saying enough.
Maybe.
I'm seeing your point. You're making valid points. So I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yes.
I know you're saying it because you want to, like, point out the fact that I'm a little uncomfortable and maybe I'm making some wrong moves in the scheme of podcasting.
Not that necessarily, but, you know, I could tell already. You did say you stuck up for your show, but I know you were obviously holding back. And maybe if you put yourself – is this making sense? Maybe if you were clearer how out of line she was, people would have been like, okay, I'll jump in now.
I think I have to learn how to do that. I think you're right. I think I have not gone.
I'm not saying when I do social media, it's so calculated, but
yeah,
this
no,
is what
I
I'm
understand.
Hearing.
I understand what you're saying. I think you're right, and I think, like, for those of you that for some reason don't know Keith, Keith runs one of the most successful podcasts of all time, one of the first podcasts ever. In fact, there's podcasts that you probably listen to that you think are pioneering, but have learned how to do it through Keith. I mean, there's a lot of podcasts that came to you to learn how to do it, right? You and your partner.
Mark Maron started with us because of us. There's no podcast of any genre with more shows. We're pretty proud about it. We're going on 12 years.
Yeah, and it's from the ground up. I mean, you guys are one of the first people to go, hey, this could be a format that literally everyone's heard about as of like 2-3 years ago. Everyone has a podcast now on their phone.
Right. Yeah, when we started, there wasn't a podcast category. When we started, there was the iPod, and they didn't have the tab on there yet.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that that's how early you guys started out.
Yeah.
Was podcasting something that iTunes kind of helped
foster,
or was that just more?
No, iTunes helped. iTunes is the biggest podcasting search engine now, period. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it was all good news when it would take off. You know, none of it bothered. Like when you say people might think a Marc Maron, whoever started things, it doesn't bother me. It's only good news. You know, mm-hmm. there's a new show just came out on TV. Okay. That doesn't mean I'm turning off Westworld. You know, I got time.
Yeah.
If I'll just stop writing back to a hate letter. Again, I can make time.
I think that's really, I'm always impressed by, you ever read the book Outliers?
No.
It's a really famous book. I reference it since I read it quite often.
It's one of those businesses. It's
Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah.
It's about, you know,
my
the
wife
10,000 hours.
Stuff.
Yeah. Like, your wife's really prominent in business. Yes. Makes you look like a fucking schlub.
She's a worker.
She's unbelievable.
She's working right now, but I am too, right?
Yeah, you are. We're doing work.
Yeah.
You're changing lives.
Yeah.
So in that book, one of the parts he talks about being one of the first people and how you, you know, in business or in any type of format and what that means. And you're that. Like, you are your show is kind of the epitome of that, where you learned how to do it in a way where you're always five steps ahead of most people and you got the format together, which people think podcast is radio, and it is, but it isn't. Like, there is no commercial break. I know you guys have sponsors, but there's no, like, I've done the stuff for iHeart where they make me have to stop every 13 minutes and 45 seconds, and it's really
you can't have a real flow, and not to get too dramatic, but when I brought up A. Marie, for example, or you have anybody telling what could be a deep story, and then you're like, okay, thanks. You know, you can't jump into it necessarily, so you need time. You don't want to go, okay, mm-hmm. hold that thought about your mother and you were two and how inappropriate that was. Let's talk about, you know, you have time, and that's the beauty of it. Yeah.
When you decided to do the show, because you do stand up once a year, and you're really smart because it's something you do where you've now made it a thing. And what I mean by a thing is your audience kind of looks forward to it now, and you build it up, and you perfectly talk about it throughout the course of the year. And when it gets closer and closer and closer, you promote it, and then boom, you got a room full of people to see you do an hour of stand-up, yep. where you really aren't doing any stand-up all year. So you're legit writing material for a full year or whatever you're doing.
Honest to God, 2 weeks before.
And then because you have such a captive audience, and they're going to forgive you up front in a way that if you were going to go do that to a strange audience at the Cellar, they might not, even though you're a funny guy. Doing an hour is crazy, but you do it. And you even sell the DVD or the CD, yeah. right, or like whatever. You sell the recording. And it's not only, I don't know, nutritional from a creative sense, but also from a financial sense for you.
Well, I love doing it. I don't have the passion for stand-up like you do or most of your guests. But I do like the challenge. I will do it, and then we'll perform once, literally once a year. One show, record that, and then have like postpartum depression, where like I do want to do more, but I don't really have time because I'm doing my my podcast, and then the feeling goes away eventually. I take it extremely serious. I do think I can do that same hour in a group of strangers. Whenever I first started, that's of course mm-hmm. what I did. They're strangers. My audience would not put up with bullshit because they liked my show. They wouldn't fly to New York.
Well, the rule applies, 5-minute rule. They'll probably, if you, any famous person, or in that context, you are famous because it's like, it's more than a bringer. Bringer is people that go, oh, I work with this fucking jerk off.
Right.
These are people like, I love Keith. You already have a persona with them. They'll give you 5 minutes. They'll give you 5 minutes to figure it out. But after that, they're going to be like, oh, he sucks.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not saying that he sucks and then people just humor him because it's a world of turds where no one humors anybody.
That's true.
He's giving anybody up for free. So Keith is doing his thing. I wasn't implying.
So fuck you.
That Keith is a... So guys, you know, you get it for free, so fuck you. He ain't giving shit away for free. So you... I kind of love
but
that.
But I think I take it more seriously than most stand-ups, with all that said. I will...
You probably do, actually.
When
yeah.
I practice it, I practice it in my house, but I also turn on the TV so that's the noise at the bar if it got a little too loud, if we didn't We didn't take care that this place, as big as it is, has a fucking giant ice machine, you know.
This is how much he does not want to leave his house. The guy literally knows every stand-up in the game. He has famous stand-ups on his show. He could literally make 4 phone calls and have bookings to try out his material for a whole month. He could probably get up every night of the week for a whole month. But instead of doing that, you create all of these makeshift obstacles in your home.
Right. I put up a couple literal hurdles. And then, you know, some name says, hey, everybody says, yes, you want to do this, right? I'm like, I do appreciate it. But
you know, it'd be great if I could open for you in your bedroom or in your living room.
And then I yell, "Your mic just went out. What do you do?"
You're just throwing, and then I realize, like, oh my god, I actually do this every night. Right, by doing it in his living room.
So you guys do a show, you put out a show every day of the week.
Yeah, 5 days. Yeah,
5 days. But is there a certain number of days? Is it like Tuesday through whatever, or what is it?
Now it's different because Hemda has had a tumor removed, so we have guest hosts that come in. So last week we happened to do 3 shows one day, 2 shows the other.
Okay.
But usually I like to be on top of it. This is stupid, but my way of thinking is that if I record a show ahead of time, then the show comes out. And there happened to be a second 9/11 5 minutes before you turn me on. And I go, God, it's the fucking worst out there, guys. The dollar store lines are so long.
That is the positive of being live. You know what, though? That's a valid point. Where you're, like, being totally petty, you know, bitching about life. Yeah, and then some catastrophic event happens. And people are listening to you.
It's the fucking worst. My dog jumped off the bed and it's 10 weeks old, so I don't know what's with its leg. It's bad, right, if they're licking their own leg? I don't know. Anyways, hope you guys are good.
Was it live when you first started?
We started live on show. We were the first podcast to go live. I feel like, I don't know. I don't know. Show 300 maybe? Maybe, but the show 300 was literally live in front of an audience. I forget. Could have been show 50. I really forget.
What was the influence behind the show? Is it like, because you guys have a unique setup. Even though I've done a ton of radio on the road before I even heard about podcasts, and there was a lot of guy girl teams with that kind of like format where
Zany John and his
partner, like whatever, you know, like keeping the girl is
what people also like. You know what? For being different than radio, like you're saying, people. They're like, oh, they love fuck a format, radio, right? But they love a format.
Yeah, they love it.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah, but they want
the zany thing or 15-minute segments or have on a psychic so you can yell at them. Well, you invited them.
It's also like, it's so contrived, right? Yeah. The whole process. Yes. So when you were starting, did you have any background in radio?
For a very short minute, in my hometown, where I'm from the country, close to Pittsburgh, but definitely the country, where I get reverse claustrophobia when I go back. Like, how come nobody's in my way? Like, how you doing? What do you mean, how am I doing? What's the trick? Oh, you really need an answer. Good. Oh, good, how? Oh, this goes on.
We now continue again, this.
Yeah, like, we have 24 acres at home, and holy shit. I'll be on some swings, on a swing set, and after, like... And
you're
I'm
a grown
like,
man.
This,
why are you
it's fun. Oh. Well, it's an adult swing set. We build it ourselves. So I'd swing, and then like 2 minutes later, I'm like, okay, that's it. No honking cars.
I'm over it. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah. What was my point?
You were on a, you were doing some little radio out there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I did, I would do, you know, just DJing and, you know, you try to throw,
hey, WKYZ out here.
Not clever. Like, you were doing with personality. I tried to be normal talking, but in the just throw out something fun or whatever. They didn't even have a script per se.
So are you an actor, comic, a comedic actor? What, like, everyone comes to New York with something.
I think I was going to go into acting, and I just never tried, but I'm into it.
Because you were dating. I always feel insecure when I'm going to say Hemda's name. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you just never say we're dated. My wife doesn't like it. No, I'm just kidding.
Your wife is a fan of the show. I'm sure she knew. But you started after you guys broke up.
No, we were together.
You got to go through the breakup on air?
And I wanted to do – well, I'll tell you. And I wanted to do a podcast. And And I was going to do, and then I said, but I don't like, for the most part, solo shows. Like, if the guy doesn't have a guest, it's usually rambling to me.
Who'd you like up front? Like, your Stern guy?
Howard Stern, I like. ONA, when they were together, I liked.
Okay.
Before they, so that was kind before of their influence. Before their bitching was so public, you know?
They could keep it under the belt.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, and Howard Stern's not by himself, obviously. There's fucking 2,000 people on that show at once. So I convinced Henda to do it. It's called Keith and the Girl because Henda's hard to pronounce. That was her idea. Also, it was her idea because she thought she'd be able to keep some anonymity. Because I would write like what you would now call a blog, and I would use first and last names of girls I was dating or dated before in the past, rather. And she's like, all right, just I'll be called the girl. Next thing you know, I'm telling some story about this girl, she had an abortion and she couldn't take the train, right? You can't take the train after you have an abortion, right? I'm just like, oh, I don't know about that. And I'm like, well, did you take the train home? And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? So that soon didn't work, you know. I figured when we started, I'd promote stand-up. I thought I would do it more often. She's, without exaggeration, probably the greatest singer that I know.
Really?
Yeah. And in fact, one of my regrets maybe is I'm trying is to figure out how do we spend all our time on this and get her out there more. Yeah. She's been on the soundtrack for FIFA for soccer. Conjure One was a big deal that she was on.
Just recorded things that people have used.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I had no idea.
Yep. And that's my regret. You had no idea. So she would promote her singing. I'm promoting the stand-up. We heard about the technology, which was mostly used for news articles, RSS. And from my brother, and separately she heard it from her brother. Both happened to be computer geniuses. And so we talked about doing it. We didn't know it would – I don't know if this makes sense. We didn't know it would get so big. We didn't know we were taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And then – We wouldn't give ourselves holidays for so many years, thinking we didn't deserve it yet, that kind of thing.
And then we
realized, whoa, this is a real fucking thing. We have to quit our jobs, which are good jobs. We were kids entertainers at one point, and like $100 an hour, and that was good money. It's like, we can't do both, and that was scary.
That's huge.
That in-between was scary.
I think that's kind of full circle of the conversation, is we started out with you saying, in so many words, hey, man, how about you take this seriously and maybe more people will take the show seriously?
Right.
In so many words. Maybe you weren't saying that deliberately, but whatever. That's how I took it. When I started this, it was because I'm terrible at networking. Like, you're one of the closest friends I have in comedy. You don't even do stand-up but once a year.
Right.
I don't like many – I don't understand. I don't know how to relate. Trust me, I've been talking to my therapist about it for 10 years, right? I'm working on it. I'm trying. But
as a comic, do you have to hang out with people, Perry?
I've missed a lot of gigs just off sheer no one knowing who the fuck I am. Knowing of me, but not knowing me in a way where you can get anything out of a goodwill relationship that's been built.
That is life, though, in a big way, right?
It really
it's
is.
Who you know.
Yeah, and it really is who you know. And I know you, and that's about it. And you've come on my show and lecture me, which fucking is awesome. So with you, it's the way I started out for me is I thought I'm going to do this because it'll give me – I love talking to people. I love knowing about them. But I don't know for the life of me how I'll get them in front of me if I don't have a microphone and they can't promote something. So maybe I'll do a podcast because everyone was starting their own podcast 5 years, 6 years ago. I thought it would be great networking. So I never looked at it as this could be something. But now if I think about it, a lot of stuff I have going on right now is because of this, you know? So – you're right. I should take it more seriously. But I didn't, you know,
if you like
I like talking to you. If I could talk to you every day, I'd probably be like, oh, what a great gig.
I was thinking this is the only way we talk from now on.
I think so, too. I think the only way we talk is you just do my show every week with me.
And keep, like, today's guest is another surprise.
And I'll do the same, like, big intro.
Right, right.
Like, totally big intro.
If you don't know who we've had on for the last 5 years.
So Hemda's recovering from some things.
Tumor was taken out of her chest.
Shout out. I hope she's doing okay or you know, it's going along well, I hope. I don't know.
That's sweet.
I hope.
There's good days and bad days. And,
of course.
I talk to her fairly often, of course. And it sounds good. She's out of the hospital. She will need radiation, not
chemo. But
which is a big deal, mm-hmm. and that's where we're at right now.
So you're having co-hosts in to
yes.
fill in,
yeah,
and so you guys can still maintain something great and keep it going. Was that a hard decision to make? Obviously, I think it's pretty obvious because that's probably part of her living too.
It was. Show, it was even more her decision. Her living. She was like, you know, let's. I do want to keep it going. I want to come back to a
was
job.
The hiatus even a thought?
No. And it,
hard.
And it could have been, though. But
really?
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it could have been. We've earned the right to take time off for, mm-hmm. the, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. I think we're okay with that. We have enough.
Yeah.
We have all these behind-the-scenes stuff. We have VIP shows. We could have figured out something. But
some way
we
to
don't
make
want
it
to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she thought, all right, how about we have a female come in every day I'm gone? And that's what we've been doing.
That's great. Yeah. How's it working out so far?
Very good. You know, we know these people.
Yeah, they're probably regulars of the show that you know fit in perfectly.
So the audience knows them pretty well. And even if you don't, they're on top of their game. They know what is going on. Molly mm-hmm. Neff was fantastic. Ophira Eisenberg was just on. She was great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you try to get get different people from different walks of life, different races, for example, so you have a different point of view, and I really like how it's been going. In fact, this should take longer, because this is exciting.
Hey, take your time, sweetheart, all right, huh?
She would hate that.
No, she gets jealous in that she'll write in feedback, and so our show moves very fast, and she'll say a message, but I would have already covered it by the time I got her feedback,
yeah.
even though there's the tiniest lag. But again, we talk so fast. And then she IN'd me like, you're not reading my feedback. I'm like, you only wrote two things.
Yeah,
somebody's a little jelly. And she's like, I am.
And you guys have like a fucking empire of podcasts. You have your own, mm-hmm. which I've done, and I got mangled.
You were great. Mangled, he means slam-basted. I get the guests drunk and I yell questions at him, and we had a two-parter with Josh.
It was so great. Probably the most I've ever drank.
All right.
But managed to not puke or be hungover the next day. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing for my life and the way it's been going. But you have that, and then Pemda had a show for a while that she was doing. That. You guys both had your own spinoff.
It started with hers called What's My Name, and she talks to somebody about one topic.
Uh-huh.
A little more seriously than Keith and the Girl
My Name
Kids,
is Keith.
Probably. Then I did My Name is Keith, where I get you drunk and yell questions
great.
At you. So then her show, What's My Name, we do a reverse What's My Name, where Libby, who I mentioned, interviews Hemda. So even though Hemda's at home, we know where you're at. You're not done. So we go over there and interviewing Libby's interviewing her, rather, about the whole process, what she's going through.
And your intern has a show. Doesn't Danny have a show?
Danny Hatch has a weekly show. Libby has a wrap-up show other than the one I mentioned, talking about the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You'd hear that Lance Wee story, for example.
That's so funny. I got to talk to Lance. That's amazing.
hey, can you cut that part out of the show?
No,
I don't want to get nothing started.
You're my Obi-Wan. You've taught me. Never cut the show. So now I can never cut it.
Kemda's husband has a spinoff show. Yeah, there's tons. You would think there's less because Kemda's sick. There's more content
more
than
content
ever.
Than ever.
Yeah. So just take a look at keithandthegirl.com and it's all there.
When you do the show, when you set up that channel, it's a lot of like you go to that and you have all these different shows you can feast on. You could spend your whole time on that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you subscribe, you get the live, you get – or what do you get? You get access to all the archives.
You already
right?
– you get the so many last shows. I believe it's 50. And you can watch us live. The app is free, keithandthegirl.com/app, where you can see us and hear us live as we go. You can write in feedback, all that kind of thing. The VIP program, our premium content, is all the spin-off shows we mentioned and every show that we've ever done, which is over 2,500.
So, you know, Riotcast does that thing where I know, like, I'm not plugging another place I'm not on. I'm just saying, I'm trying to give it context. I know Bobby Kelly has like a thing where he does. There's a lot of like. I know some of my friends have podcasts on his channel. You guys have kept it pretty much in the family, though, right? Like it's shows of spinoffs of people so like directly associated with Keith and the Girl.
For the most part, we.
What made you not want to jump in and get like absorb other shows?
People aren't professional enough,
so?
Quite frankly. They're too late. They're not timely,
mm-hmm.
Which meaning like, yeah, I'll just skip this week. It's not a big deal.
It doesn't work that way.
And
yeah.
I get it, and it's okay. You make your living doing stand-up, let's say.
Yeah.
But if it is what it is. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
We do do something now called Flavor of the Month, where every month somebody talks about, like, okay, we have something with Mateo Lane and Emma Willman right now that's excellent called Gay Talk. Mm-hmm. And they're yapping every day or once a week for a month. And before that, we had Nick Turner had his own show mm-hmm. called Gratuitous, where he does something with pals in a city that's free. Let's say go to a museum and comes back and yaps about it. Before that, Marcia Belsky had Misandry and, you know, in her platform of Killing All Men. That was excellent. So each month we do something new, and that's more outside people.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that, man. I think you're really good at what you do.
Thank you.
And fuck you, but I think you're really good at what you do. I love Keith. Keith's like family to me. I'm happy you came here.
I'm happy you're married.
Yeah, man, I'm married.
What about it?
It's fucking, we can talk about that off the air.
Okay.
We'll talk about it. We'll get into it.
Does that confuse the ladies? Is that what you're afraid? The slam pigs
no,
out there?
No, in fact, I am really upfront about it. I love it. But at the same time, people keep telling me the ring's going to make people come on to me more. It's very funny to me.
Yeah, so, I do think there is something to that.
Really?
Yeah,
talking about that because you've been married a lot longer than me. I've been married like a week.
I wear 10 rings. Like I was in Vietnam, I instead of a necklace of ears, I have rings.
Forever you even married?
Yeah.
Plug your shit. Like where, like social media, all that.
Take a look at keithandthegirl.com. Look around. See if you like what you see. See what you like. And that's it. Social media is the same. Everything for the most part is Keith and the Girl. Instagram, all that. Facebook.
You have your own shit though, right? You don't really.
Keith Malley is my personal Twitter account. But my whole life's the show, yeah.
So go to the show and just do that.
All right, man. Well, I love you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You're amazing, man. Thanks for the lecture.
I wonder what song started this episode.
It's going to be Bruce.
What did you pick? Is it Bruce again? It's funny.
No, that's going to be
you
Mellencamp.
You never explain a song. Do you know that?
Mellencamp.
You'll play anything all over the place, and you just don't explain it.
And it means stuff, too. It all means stuff.
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, fuck us.
Keith Malley's awesome. Keith, I love you, brother. I say I love you to him at the end of the show, and he doesn't say it back, and I just said it again. This really is, in a very subtle way, transparency on my part to show you how deeply, deeply wounded I am emotionally. You see how I keep saying I love you to the man. He doesn't reciprocate. Now, this is something I've done throughout the course of my life, where I would tell someone I love them, not always because I love them. I actually do really love Keith. But I've done this in relationships before where I actually say I love you to somebody and they don't say it back. And I more was saying it to get the gratification that they love me too. So I wasn't necessarily saying it for real. But as you can see, it's rather confusing, especially when you're a young pubescent boy and you're very in tune with wanting to do sex. And your body is very confusing to you. You feel these... I have an extreme feeling in my body when it comes to sexual activity. I mean, I'm assuming everyone has that, but it's been proven not only through therapy but also diagnosis from others that it's a lot more extreme than most. So I remember growing up, and then the love you thing became part of that, and it's very, very convoluted. I haven't had sex with Keith yet. I haven't I do love the guy. And I'm glad he came on. So go follow Keith Malley, and you can go listen to his show too and listen to mine. And I hope some of you from Keith and the Girl come over here and listen to my show because I think me and Keith are going to build something here. I think I'm going to have him on more because I enjoy the guy's presence. That just felt very homoerotic. Okay, so follow the show at SlamPigPodcast@gmail.com, and then all the other stuff, Instagram. And whatnot, Twitter. You can follow me at Josh Accardo, and go to my website, joshaccardo.com, and you can get to everything. All right, you can subscribe to the show there. You can see all my sketches. A lot of great stuff coming out, and I can't wait to tell you about it. I always say that, but I have a couple sketches coming out from Exotica that me and Harry Tarjanian did, a friend of the show. It's going to be on my Dating on Set YouTube channel, which is doing quite well. So Dating on Set, the web series, if you haven't watched the show yet, do that. And also we do a lot of funny sketches on that channel as well. Working on a comedy show that will take place monthly here in New York City, a very fun, hip show. And I will give you more details once I have those available. So, enjoy the rest of your week, and I can't wait to talk in your ears again next week.